Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
Good evening. How is everybody? Well, I am very excited about tonight to be here with you because I am sharing. Have they got a little screen on what I'm sharing on? I'm sharing on a quiet life. I don't have one, but I have found that one can find quietness in one's noisy life. And the idea of finding a quiet life, unless you want to become a nun or a monk or live in a desert island, is actually probably impossible, or at least improbable, in 2015. So what we're going to do today is I am going to let you into a few little secrets of how you can get quiet spaces even in the midst of noisiness. Is that good? Does that sound good? I think that sounds great. I love my quiet spaces. I do. I really do. And I was forced into this. Last year, I got a knock in my head. It was a thing that had to happen. It clearly put some things into perspective. I had a fall, actually, around this time. Earlier this time last year, if that makes sense. And about this time last year, I had surgery. And it meant that I couldn't stand noise of any description. In fact, I couldn't even stand the sound of my own voice, which my husband had been trying to tell me for years. Until he got terribly bored with me not being able to talk. You see, be careful what you pray for. Talking about that, I just said, wouldn't it be amazing, God, to have $1,000 to go and do some shopping? So the money you saved is an answer to my prayer. It's gone. You see? It's not about if the Lord can get it to you. It's if he can get it through you. You see, and he can't say anything because we're in church. So clearly, it's too late to talk. Anyway, so when I had this fall, I couldn't come to church, which was actually kind of funny because people said to me, are you enjoying the break? And I'm like, no, because I want to be with people worshiping the Lord. But I just couldn't stand the noise of anything, even people talking and myself talking, because my head would vibrate with my own talking. And so I became very quiet. And it was good because I did a lot of listening. And when you listen, you hear things differently from what people say. It's funny that, isn't it? I've got a little prayer that I found that I thought helped me a lot in that time. I'm going to read it to you. It says this. Let me just grab this. Teach me to listen. Teach me to listen, O God, to those nearest me, my family, my friends, my co-workers. Help me to be aware that no matter what words I hear, the message is, accept the person I am, listen to me. Teach me to listen, my caring God, to those far from me, the whisper of the hopeless, the plea of the forgotten, the cry of the anguished. Teach me to listen, O God, to myself. Help me to be less afraid to trust the voice inside, in the deepest part of me. Teach me to listen, Holy Spirit, for your voice, in busyness and in boredom, in certainty and in doubt, in noise and in silence. Teach me, Lord, to listen. So it's fascinating when you stop talking, how you actually listen. And so this was a journey because I didn't even have really the capacity at the time of my recovery to think, to pray deeply, to read, to watch TV. I couldn't listen to audiobooks clearly. And so my prayer life became small and constant. And I prayed the prayer of the ancients, which was, Lord, have mercy on me, and Lord, have mercy on those that I inflict myself upon. I'm serious, because one minute we are the ones that are being damaged by someone else's mercilessness, and the next minute something out of our mouth can cut somebody to the quick, whether we intend it or not. We can never be totally sure of what we say, and how we say it is not going to cause offense or trouble to other people. So I think it's a great idea to pray. It's like the prayer of Jabez, which talks about helping us not to cause other people pain. And I am aware every time someone causes me pain and I go, ow, I think that could have been me saying or doing that to someone else. Lord, help me. Help me. Show me when I do those things. So it was a great little phase in my life that I'm actually incredibly grateful for. And it was the, like I said last week, when we go through good times, we rarely sit and reflect and analyze. Why am I having such a good time? Why am I feeling so much joy? Why am I taking interest in every single thing that comes along? Why am I so grateful? Why is everything just wonderful? But when we go through pain, it's easy to recognize pain of other people. When you feel despair, when you feel ongoing pain and you can't answer the prayers that people are praying for you. Like when people say, I hope you have a speedy recovery, but your recovery is based on your physical body and God's design that it will get better in a certain time. And it's like, I'm sorry, I can't actually be the answer to your prayer today. I'm sorry if your prayer or my prayer becomes outcome-based and not relationship-based. And I started to mull about this thought about how in our lives, how often in our lives, our picture of God becomes determined by how he answers our prayers. Does he answer our prayers in the way that we're asking? Or even better, or are our prayers part of our ongoing relationship with him, and our relationship with him is not determined by what he does for us or doesn't do for us, because that is unconditional love. Because if your prayers are outcome-based, you're actually asking for a genie in a bottle. Because then that means that you are actually telling God what's best for you and how's best, what's the best outcome. And I don't know too many human beings. I admire a lot of human beings, but there's none of them that I think has the mind of God. And therefore, I want to have God's outcome from my life, because ultimately I know that he's going to work all things together for good. So I shared with you my little prayer, the prayer of listening. And the other thing that I started to do a lot was what we call, or we refer to as, the prayer of examine, where I would reflect on each day. Sometimes I'd do it halfway through the day. Sometimes I would do it at the end of the day. This does not need to take a long time. This can take 5 minutes. And when you get actually quite good at it, you actually find yourself going through the day and thinking, if I do X now, I will be repenting of that by the end of the day in my time of reflection and be feeling remorse and sadness. Whereas if I don't do that and choose to be governed by the fruit of the Spirit right now that I need, then I'm going to have a time of reflection where I go, thank you, Lord. I felt your hand. I felt your presence on my day. And so one of the things that I started to look at in my life is where I felt God's presence rest and where I felt it lift. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we know when we have those conversations and we actually say what we need to say, no more, no less, and we don't say what we feel like saying, and instead of holding back and being prideful that we've held back, we go, oh, thank you, Jesus, you rescued me from saying something that would require an awful lot of healing. Has anyone else had that feeling? So what I'm going to do with you is we're going to do two little exercises today. You're going to work with me, because that's the way it's going to be. Because I said, no, because my husband said, and I listened to my husband. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to read a little passage to you, and then I'm going to let you have a little think on it, okay? We've got time here, and You know, one of the things about preaching a message is sometimes the preacher preaches a message and everybody goes, that was a fantastic message. But to me, a fantastic message is what actually becomes part of your DNA. To me, if somebody can't remember something that shifts them closer to Jesus and closer to his presence, then it was only a bit of entertainment and actually not a shifting. So I'm hoping that some of these things that we do tonight are things that you may consider to help you in your quest for simplicity in a complex life, for quietness in a noisy life. All right? So you can listen to me with your eyes closed, your eyes open. I don't mind, whatever you do. But like I said, this is about allowing God's presence to come and to rest on us and to just to sit in that. So first of all, we're going to talk about the presence of God. God is with me, but more. God is within me, giving me existence. I allow myself to quieten, to feel my breath, to feel my heartbeat, to dwell for a moment on God's life-giving presence in my body, my mind, my emotions, and in the whole of my life. Freedom. God is not foreign to my freedom. Instead, the Spirit breathes life into my most intimate desires, gently nudging me towards all that is good. I ask for the grace to let myself be enfolded by the Holy Spirit, to put aside my thoughts and to focus on His thoughts towards me. Take a moment to be conscious of how I feel. How am I really feeling? Lighthearted, heavy-hearted. I may be very much at peace, happy to be here. Equally, I may be frustrated, worried, or angry. I acknowledge how I really am. It is a real me that the Lord loves. Now I'm going to turn to a scripture, and you can just listen to it as I read it. I'm going to read it twice over. Just listen to what God may be saying to you. It's Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. I turned to God as though in conversation. How has his word moved me? Has it left me cold? Has it consoled me or moved me to act in a new way? I imagine Jesus standing or sitting beside me. I turn and share my feelings with him. With thanksgiving, I allow myself to think back over the day. I acknowledge areas that I didn't do correctly, and I ask that the fruit of the Spirit that God has pointed out to me in this time would enable me to deal with circumstances differently. I thank God for where I did hear his still small voice and acted accordingly. And I ask that that would increase in my life. And finally, I pray, Father, to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would help me to bring glory to your name in everything I say and do. Amen. So how many like that as a little exercise? You like that? Yeah, I do that every day and sometimes twice a day. And sometimes after a conversation that hasn't gone as well as I had hoped it would go, I asked the Holy Spirit to point out exactly where his nudge was that I was ignoring, or where he told me to hold my tongue and I just couldn't help it. You know, that moment of satisfaction. And then what? Then despair. And I am seeing his grace on my life, and seeing the outcome of that is it's just a different form of spiritual growth, and I am enjoying it greatly. And I find it very refreshing, and I find it a still, quiet place in a busy world and an opportunity to connect. Now, we're going to keep on the same scripture for the other exercise that I want to do with you. We've got 10 minutes left. And this is just some of the ways that I connect with God in a still space. Because I've always found it easy to connect with God in a busy space. I've known God in a mighty rushing wind. I've known him in thunder. I've known him in fire. But many years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, you don't really know how to walk with a dove on your shoulder. Like, you really don't know how to do the still small voice. And anyone who knows me knows that it's like I have been a very forceful person. You know, find a way or make a way. And sometimes there is no way. It's like that song says, everything I surrender. And that was actually the song that Andrew led the boys onto the killing field with. Everything I believe in, now I surrender. Take me as you find me, you know. And there is a place to fight, and there's a place to surrender. And watching people do that well is actually an honor. And even myself, watching myself give into things that would otherwise have taken my attention or distracted me and taken me away from living the way God wants me to live, you know, I'm finding that I'm surrendering more quickly to his will and to his way, and that's a good thing. It's not as, what's the word? It's not like, you know, it's one small step for Christy, but it's not necessarily an overt giant leap for mankind. It's not something that you see overtly, but it's something that builds slowly over time, and you allow his grace and mercy to build in you so that you can then also be the receiver of grace and mercy towards you. So the next little exercise, this is one that actually, I'm not sure if it is one of the original spiritual exercises that the Ignatians do, but certainly it is one that they practice. And it's actually one that I read about many years ago in a book by Calvin Miller. He's a great writer on Celtic spirituality. And of course, knowing that I've got Irish roots, it's always good to go back to your roots and to your formative life. It's interesting, you know, with working with Mayu, don't underestimate the scriptures that your children learn or the songs that they sing, because I know that deep in my heart, some of the scriptures that I learned off rote and appealed horrifically to my parents for teaching me like a parrot. I mean, I just learned it off by heart, so it doesn't mean anything. Well, believe me, in times of trouble, it means a lot. And I wish they had have fed me more chocolate to make me learn more scripture when I was young, because it's harder to learn when you're older. And let me encourage you, you know, commit some scripture to memory. Allow it to just, ruminate in you, because when it's called upon, it will come forth richly. And Rob is like a walking concordance, and I defer to him all the time, which is a really lazy thing to do. It's like women who don't drive at night. You let your husband do it because you get lazy, and then you feel a little bit worried about doing it. Well, it's the same with me in scripture. So it's just like I don't even go to the concordance. I just go to Rob. And so on the night I was with Mayu and he wanted to go through every scripture, I was like, boot camp for scripture from one end of the scripture to the other. And I'm like going, thank God I actually knew that myself. I do it myself. You know, thank God that those things are deep inside you. So anyway, I was saying that to say this. So this little exercise I learned through, I practiced several years back when I was reading a couple of the books on Celtic spirituality and formation, because in the denomination that I was brought up in, we had strong formation principles. So we learned all the major doctrines through catechisms. You know, people say, well, what's man's journey on life? Well, the Westminster Catechism says man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So I've never had an issue with what is my purpose in life. Well, my purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. In one sentence, it was formed and in me from a child. You know, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unending. You know, what is sanctification? What is justification? What is redemption? And all those things were learnt and in me and formed in me from a young child. And so if you haven't had any of those roots, it may be something that you might actually want to look at. To allow some of those scriptures to go deep into your heart and to understand some of those basic doctrines like the Apostles' Creed and some of the basic things of our faith, because it's important if you ever have to speak up for your faith that you actually have some understanding. It doesn't mean you have to go to Bible college. It just means you have to have a basic understanding. So anyway, so in this, we did this exercise on the fruit of the Spirit. Because, as Galatians says, there is no law against this, so we must keep on growing this fruit and growing this fruit in our life. And this fruit can't be grown. Fruit doesn't grow, it grows over time, and it grows in different seasons of our lives. And it's the same with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So we're going to do this little exercise now. It doesn't take long, but what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us where we're doing well and where we maybe get stuck. As I read out the different fruits, you might start to get irritated. You might think, and if you get stuck, don't think stuck. Think, what is the opposite of this? Because you may find that you know the opposite well. I'll give you an example. When I got to gentleness, I was like, gentleness? What do you mean gentleness? Gentleness gets nothing done. Be gentle forever and nothing will ever happen. Nothing will ever happen in this earth. You know, it's just like, and then the Holy Spirit said, no, because you don't know gentleness. You know forcefulness, and forcefulness has worked for you. But presence lifts off forcefulness in your home. And he started to show me where I was forceful. Like getting the children out in the morning. The best way to do it now is just avoid it. But it's like, have you got your school bags? Have you got a lunch packed? Have you forgotten this? Have you got this? Okay. And by the time they go, it's like, huh. Then when they come home, have you eaten your lunch? Have you unpacked your bag? Have you done this? Why didn't you eat your lunch? Forcefulness. And then before they go to bed, okay, we don't want a rerun of this morning, so have you got your lunch? Have you put away your stuff? There is no presence of God on that. There is no peace. There is no gentleness. It is just stress. And it is not a fruit of the Spirit. So we're just going to go through this and see where you land, okay? It's just a bit of fun. It's not serious. But, well, the Lord is seriously working on your life. But he will help you. Because when he showed me that, I thought, I don't know any other way to work. I mean, it's just like, I'm like, there's always a way to get something done. But that doesn't mean that presence is on it. And sometimes getting the thing done is not actually the answer. Maybe you just need to leave it for someone else to do it and do it in a different way. I mean, other ways are okay. There is not a right way to very many things. There's a right way and there's your way. Okay, so let's just close our eyes for a moment. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just show us what is the gift, what is the grace that you want to impart, what is the fruit that you want to grow in our lives from the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that your life would be breathed into this. It wouldn't be a heavy yoke, but it would be a light yoke. And you would show us exactly how we can bring this into our lives right now, right here, and that it will change the space that we live in, that it will bring stillness and peace into our homes, into our marriages, into our relationships. We thank you. Your yoke is easy. and your burden is light. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. You might want to think about a time that you felt love or you experienced giving love. And did you feel God's presence on that? Remember, if you get stuck on thinking about this, if you think about the contrary, you might remember that. How do you experience love? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just while you're in that state of mind, let me just read something to you that I find very helpful in my life. Actually, first of all, in the early days in Australia and now again in the later days. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet, it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time. That is to say, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. That's really trusting God. That's really stilling and quietening your soul. And before you leave, I'm just going to read a psalm over you before I finish. A psalm that I find incredibly helpful and incredibly comforting. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the noon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest, will find stillness, will find quietness in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So I just would encourage you, I hope that the Lord has given you something to ruminate on today and this week. I believe that he's given out precious gifts. Don't be, concerned if you feel, oh, I'm not sure what I got or didn't get. You know, it's just a journey, and you don't have to get everything right, and you don't have to get it. You have to love him. And when you pray, abandon yourself to the idea that Father knows best. Abandon yourself to the idea of not praying from an outcome perspective, but from a relationship perspective. A fresh stillness will come, and a fresh curiosity to really see, well, now what are you going to do in this one? You know, how funny is it that we think that we can help God out with an answer? Let him who created the heavens and the earth be the one who answers our prayers. Amen? Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.